Hello?
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 If you can hear this, it's not too late. I return to warn you. This is Time Pop, a podcast that discusses time travel in pop culture. There are spoilers. I've seen the future, and nothing is sacred to these folks. Your past, present, and future are sure to be ruined. Even if you could go back in time, as I have, you will never forget what you are about to hear. You've been warned. This is Time Pop.
As we guide you through the experience of time travel using pop culture as our Dean Koontz. We will be your constants. I am Dez.
I'm Ari.
And I'm Scott.
What did you say?
And this is
Time Pop.
What did you say was
Dean Koontz, the author of the book?
Dean Koontz.
In the 80s.
Dean Koontz. Koontz.
No, don't make this dirty. It's an author.
What is it?
Dean Koontz.
Koontz.
Wow, she's gonna. This is gonna
Koontz.
Go on.
Wow,
Dean Koontz.
Wow,
famous author.
How do you spell it?
Now I'm having the thing. Usually, you guys turn on me, but now I have to turn on Ari and ask if she actually listened.
International.
Dean Koontz.
Yeah, he's like a Stephen King.
Yeah.
So this was the guy that wrote the book in 1981 about the. The story that supposedly inspired her?
Yes.
Okay. And that was a real author?
Yes.
Yeah. And a real book.
A real book. It's a real book, probably.
Yeah.
A real book that was written in 1981 about a virus that was released in China.
From a bat?
From a bat. And that was supposedly a...
He's showing you.
What's that?
Eyes of Darkness. That was the book.
Eyes of Darkness. Okay, so that's a real book that was really written. Okay. And so that supposedly in this story was sown, a sower,
yeah, look.
A sown seed. Someone sowned it.
There's things about it. They say, no, Dean Koontz did not predict coronavirus in 81. It's been a lot of, by the way, Dean Koontz looks not dissimilar to Stephen King. Let that be a thing.
What is up with that hair?
I'm going to show you Stephen King now. We're going to make some decisions. We should probably do the podcast, though.
Nah, we're doing the podcast.
All right. Stephen King, Dean Koontz.
Yeah,
Stephen
old
King.
White guy with bad hair. That's their similarity.
I feel like we're in a different podcast.
Does Dean Koontz look like he spent the 80s doing cocaine?
Yes.
Kind of.
The novel mentions a bioweapon that in early editions is named Gorky 400 after the Soviet city of Gorky in which it was created due to the end of the Cold War. The origin of the bioweapon was changed to the Chinese city of Wuhan, and it was renamed Wuhan 400 for the 1989 edition onward, prompting speculations from some in early 2020 that Koontz had somehow predicted the coronavirus disease of 2009. That's fucking weird. That is fucking weird that for 10 years,
Koontz.
For 10 years, it was Soviet Union, and then he just fucking George Lucas'd it.
Uh-huh.
And just made it Wuhan 10 years later.
In 1991.
But here's the very short synopsis of it. The Eyes of Darkness is a thriller novel by American writer Dean Koontz, released in 1981. The book focuses on a mother who sets out on a quest to find out if her son indeed died 1 year ago, or if he's still alive.
Koontz.
So, hi, everybody. Welcome to our podcast.
Ooh, this is a special week.
All of our K63 fans, welcome back.
Oh, let's get in. This is some stuff.
We know you're out there, people. I'm going to put this up top. I know I always backload it, and I'll put it back there, too. Everyone who is fans of this, please write us, because, like, I was hoping to listen to this at least twice before we recorded, and I got one and a smidge, and I have a lot of thoughts that I may or may not remember to get to, but I want to hear all of your thoughts at timepoppod@gmail.com. That is timepoppod@gmail.com. That's the one thing, though, I do, if you're one of those fancy people who understand Spanish, please don't spoil season 3 for us.
Oh, so season 3 exists already?
It's been done. This entire series was completed in Portugal in like 2019.
It's going to keep going? I thought they ended it.
There's three seasons in the Portuguese version.
Okay.
Yeah, the way that they ended this season, they have to have another one. They left it so for me personally, very anticlimactic. Like, they have to
Yeah, if they had walked away from season one, it would have been like, oh, mystery, interesting. If they walk away from season two, it's like, oh, no, you fucked us. Or no, actually, better yet, I'll just have to make Kelly listen to season three and then she can translate it to me.
I've got to admit this a second time. When we did K63 season one and you were like, guys, we got to do this as a podcast. I was like, hey, it's a cute podcast, except our own. And then we listened. I was like, oh, man, this is like really good time travel sci-fi. And then season two, up to the ending, did not disappoint. They brought up some really interesting stuff.
You thought they shit the bed at the end?
Well, no, like she said, it's just a little bit anticlimactic. It was like a little
bit. Oh, yeah. Well, this is one of those things where like when they do season one, they're like, this might be all we get.
Right.
So let's make it end sort of intriguing. But when you're writing season two, you're also writing, you know, when you're filming Back to the Future 2, you're also filming Back to the Future 3.
Right.
So.
But it was good. I don't know. I thought that there's a lot of fun stuff to talk about and being a podcast. And it's one of the more interesting time travel things we've covered in the past few years. Bold statement.
It really is. Like we've watched some interesting movies, some fun movies, but you know, Ari, I'm sure, will be the first to admit that the science is light to non-existence. But I think K63 brings, I mean, whatever science there is to talk about for time travel, I think.
Yeah. We missed that Happy Death Day, had no explanation at any point of why she's looping her day.
Yeah, that
was like, because she got killed. And it's like, okay, but that's, people get killed all the time. Did you wish? Did you have a magic talisman? Give us something. There's no reason. There's no explanation.
That's hard for me.
Yeah.
It made Palm Springs look like it was science heavy.
It has a kit. You can work with that. Oh, in this case, there's a portal. Just give us something.
So I managed to. So again, like I said, I was not only going to listen to this twice. I was going to make sure and re-listen to season one. But like I said, I wasn't. I was planning on recording in a night or two. So I was like kind of lollygagging my way through it. Once I realized, oh, shoot, we have to record tonight. I cranked it up. I finished season two and then I cranked it up to 1.85 speed and started listening to the last three episodes of season one and then re-listened to the first two episodes of season two.
Wow.
So I just want you guys to know I gave up Sunday Night Football for K63.
Wow. Wait, that's a big deal.
Sunday Night Football at 9 o'clock?
Well, it's over now, but I had to listen to K63.
No, you watch it during the
day. I didn't know that, buddy. You could have said no.
No, it's this is
K63.
If it was the Seahawks, I would have flat out said no. I would have been like, sorry.
We it was fresh in our brains. We just wondered if we should just get it out there.
You guys are totally right. I'm more just apologizing to my fans that I wish that like I had really soaked this up and took notes and re-listened. And I'm super excited to talk about it, but I know that my memory of it is going to be a little more Swiss cheesy than I wish it was.
We'll discuss it together. We'll figure it out. We'll go on a journey through time.
Yes.
Yeah, it was. They do a really great job. And I'm a sucker for, is it time travel or are they insane? Which is maybe its own subgenre at this point, right? The 12 monkeys and your butterfly effect. And they play around with that really well. And then even in this one, like at the end of season one, you're like, okay, it's time travel. Then this one, she wakes up and they take some time where you're like, okay, this actually could be all in her head. And that would be a great explanation.
The whole first season might have been a fever dream.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Good job. You got to cover a lot to make that.
And they do remember what I said, Scott, in Slaughterhouse-5, they always bring in electroshock therapy. And at some point, even she says, Julianne Moore says, well, I shaved my head, so obviously I was subjected to some electroshock therapy.
But she wasn't, right?
No, she wasn't. But,
yeah.
You know, for Scott, and again, you weren't there, Ari, but we discussed in Slaughterhouse-5, every time there's a like, they always bring an electroshock to really leave the watcher, be like, well, yeah, her brain got melted with electricity. They do.
I was like, the science of that is a little bit less.
Questionable. But... you don't have to shave your head to do electroshock, but okay.
Well, I'm not saying shave your head or not. The movie always kind of throws that in there. Every movie we've watched where it's like, is this psychosis or is this time?
The 12 monkeys to do it.
12 yeah. monkeys, Slaughterhouse-5, The Jacket, all those.
Slaughterhouse-5, the more I've walked away from that, I think it is.
Oh, hey, everyone out there. Sorry. Slaughterhouse-5 comes out in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Well, you know what? The past for us, but the future for you. We can mess with time. We're time pop.
We just time traveled your ass.
Yeah, we can do that. We could. This could be next year. We don't know. When are we recording this? No one said.
We need to do that more often. I think that's the hitch of our show. Like we always talk about past episodes, but then we always release them out of order.
We can work backwards.
I've already released Christmas 2024.
Good. How do we do? Is it good?
I don't know. You haven't picked the movie yet.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry, Scott. I keep interrupting you. Tell us about K-63 season 2.
Do you want to do a quick plot synopsis?
I mean, to do a plot synopsis would take a long time. It's
loose.
Yeah. It's our main character which I kind of appreciate that their names change every time that they jump or travel or supposedly travel. But there's a few, I mean, for me, I just, right off the top of my head is all the questions, right? Like, so was it, because we only got to listen to it one time through. I really would have liked to listen to it again. So for all our fans out there, all the K63 fans who I know have listened to this many times, you true fans have probably listened to this at least three or four times.
But we're fresh. Fresh.
Yeah.
So there was a mention about you can only travel once because there were people who traveled twice and they went insane and died.
Yeah.
And once you stay, like, yeah, you're there. You're...
Or did they die? Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Things didn't go well.
Like, yeah. They alluded to that they would die. So this is our main character whose name in season one was Beatrix, which was her middle name. So this travel from 2022 to 2012 is her first travel.
Yes.
So she has now traveled.
It is this precise version of Beatrix's first travel.
Right.
Because you don't travel on, that was the one reason, they may have touched on it in season two, but when I listened to season one again, that you don't travel to a previous point in your own timeline. You travel to a previous point in a different timeline. So she leaves a doomed timeline.
So this is a great example we've talked about is multiverse time travel, and often it's not, but this is a great example of multiverse as time travel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This timeline is you cannot change, but you can skip over to another one.
Which I have a question about this
for
a little bit later on.
Right. So just in the beginning to start, we're just at least saying at the end of season one, she failed her mission. She found out that the person she had to stop was trying to help her sick sister. Messed her up. She didn't do it.
So she failed her mission and did not save this timeline.
Right. And then she ends up starting this in she's being questioned by a psychiatrist. She was found naked. She doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah.
And the psychiatrist is, as far as we know, Peter.
So we go back. It starts by us going back to the end of season one, except, of course, we get extra information. And what's his name? I'm just going to call him Oscar Isaac and Julianne Moore. Oscar Isaac walks her through it. And says, hey, you're going to... Oh, and you know what he says, too, at the end of season one? Because we find out at the end of season two, at the end of season one even, he says, I am doing this for you and me.
For love.
He's also saying, like, we'll probably save the world in the middle of it, but I am doing this so that we...
We'll never see each other again.
...can fall in love and in some timeline or another. I'll know that a version of me is happy with you.
Yeah.
So I have another question, and I'm kind of jumping around.
Yeah.
Forgive me if we don't want to do that. But so the time traveler in season one, Peter, when did he say he was from again?
2062.
Okay. So he failed his mission and got sent back to 2022.
He got just sent back to 20.
No, that was his mission.
That was his mission.
Oh, his mission was?
I think he was sent to So.
Oh, that's right. Okay, that's right. So he was sent back to 2022 to convince her to fulfill a mission. She failed and she was sent back to 2012.
Hold on real quick before we get too far away. I think you're right, Ari. I think he did fail. But then because he knew that they were on to him, that's when he passed the torch to her and asked her to stop the woman.
Okay.
I think. Anyway, I don't know. I'm splitting hairs, but since we were on the subject.
So she physically travels back in time, but she only travels in time and not in space.
Right. And 8 years. She failed her mission. And then we find the information in a phone call. He's like, you get a second chance. You can go back to 2012. They don't have a lot of time. He explains how it works. And he also says that she's not going to have a great memory. It fucks with your memory. But he gave her like a music key. He said, like, remember this. Music can unlock parts of the brain, right? Everything else is gone, but like music, even in like Alzheimer's patients and all that stuff, which
is true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like my mother forgot everything else, but she remembered songs.
She still raps Beastie Boys lyrics.
Yeah, of course.
Totally. So my question is, she's traveled back in time. She has nothing on her. She's completely naked. She has no memory at first, but when she arrives there, she has a new name. She's already an established person there.
Well, she was muttering some stuff when they first found her about the future and all that stuff. So I think it's not fully wiped. Or the more time goes by and like she gets a little more out of it.
But still, but she didn't tell them anything that could identify her. So somehow they identified her.
Right, where did the name come from? Like, I get that Oliver is the fake husband would have given the name.
Is that where it came from?
It has to have been.
No, because he doesn't show up until a day or two later.
So she's in the hospital and the doctors say like they know her name and they have her medical files. So she already existed in 2012
maybe it was a fake medical file.
As the age that she is, but there is a younger version of her. Yeah. So there's two of her there.
I would think that Oliver had already like fucked with that in the computer system. That's the only thing that would make sense. Oliver made that alibi, put it in the system, because he's a pretty advanced like little hacker guy.
Not to go back. Now, I think if they go forward, he can do that. But if she goes backwards, he doesn't have time to send someone back even farther.
Oliver was preparing for that for like a year.
Doctor. Oh, what? Did he say that long?
Yeah.
Oliver, he's been decoding messages and stuff.
For a long time.
So I did say to Ari, my first loophole with this is like, you know, Oliver waits until she's in the hospital and he gets her out. And I was like, if Oliver, he said he'd been working on this a year. They knew. He's like, why would he not just go to the
bathroom stall
and get her then and spare all that stuff?
Yeah.
Because then
there's always a hole.
Then she wouldn't meet Peter. There's rules for movie.
Well, no, or actually for meeting Peter, actually for them coming together, actually.
Yeah, because that's how they meet. Yeah.
All right, I'll give you that.
Yeah, there's a big story going on here that we have not.
There's a lot of possible stories.
Before I somehow forget to bring it up, in order for someone to enter a timeline, someone must be removed.
Okay, so want to talk about this now? Because I had trouble with this.
Yeah.
So they did not mention anything like this in season one.
No.
So all of a sudden, season two, they've introduced a new law, a new rule of their universe, where in order for another version of you to be born, essentially born is what they said, was it the same timeline or a different timeline?
Well, you only travel to a new timeline. That's the only way to time travel is to a different timeline. So in order to make room for you in that new timeline, something must be removed.
Something has to, die or be removed.
But this doesn't apply to her younger self existing.
Already existing there. And it doesn't apply to the fact that, so he potentially, they revealed that he made her jump to save her instead of just.
It's a possibility. I mean, or I don't know if it's considered fact, right?
There was revealed, Oliver was like, he made you jump. He made you jump to save you, to potentially meet you again, because on this date, the new version of you was going to be born. Which to me, okay, that doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense at all.
Right, because in this timeline, why are we suggesting that things are going exactly like it did in the other timeline in this one? If he's a totally different person with a different daughter, why is she could be born in 2023 when there's still a younger version of herself?
There.
So, I mean, in order for her to be in the original timeline in season one, when he's talking about his wife, he's talking about her, correct?
Back in 62.
Let's call it timeline one where he comes from, right?
In order for her to be of age for him to marry, she would have to be born in 2012. Because if she was...
They said she was born in 22.
2002?
I think.
22.
23, 22, something.
Not her.
His wife was. When they talk at the end of this film of like, he might have not been expecting you to solve anything. He just wanted you to be born so you could meet him. And that means you're going to die. And like,
so we're going to, hopefully everyone out there has listened to this, because I need to think this out aloud, which is going to kind of jump around a little bit. So season two, she goes back to 2012. His daughter is her.
What?
Who is his daughter?
Marie.
Marie.
That's right.
The one
patient
starts,
zero.
Yeah.
Marie is patient zero.
Okay. So, yeah. So she can be, sorry, I don't know why I thought that. That's why I had to say a lot. So she, there is room for her in this universe until 2022, until she's born.
Even though her younger self she met.
Where did she meet her younger self again?
At the bench in the garden in like the second to last episode.
Oh, fuck. That's right.
So that's why this doesn't make sense to me. Plus, they're talking about this timeline. The new person's going to be born, but yet his wife, who supposedly was born in 22, was another timeline. Was right. The other
when
timeline.
He was also born around that time, in that timeline. So that's when he already exists.
Now, do they specifically say in order for Julianne Moore to be in timeline two, Julianne Moore has to die in timeline two? Or do they just say somebody has to die?
No, it has to be the...
It has to be her.
Maybe they're kind of...
You're sure?
Yeah. But maybe they're talking about like not sort of the essence of a person. Like there's another Julianne Moore, but she's not this person.
Maybe
this
they're talking about the consciousness.
Yeah, yeah. I think it is. I think it's that specific consciousness.
Because
the ones that's experienced all this.
The very, very last moments.
Oh.
The very last moments of this season was her in back in 62. Was that right? Like she was recording something from... Uh-huh.
From 2062.
2062.
Yeah.
The consciousness jumps. And
so before we get away from this, you're right, because she didn't remember having that conversation with herself 10 years ago.
Right.
So that way, so I think the consciousness thing is right. The fact that she didn't.
It's not a loop. These are not loops. Things are happening for the first time, but in alternate universes.
Right.
So, yeah. So basically.
But there's a possibility for loops to occur, I think.
That's what they talk about at the end.
Potentially. It hasn't been revealed.
Yeah.
It could be that's revealed in season three, because I'm very confused by this whole thing. All of a sudden, they've introduced this law where somebody has to die by a certain time for someone else, the same person, but a different version to exist.
See, and that makes sense to me. I know that seems like a big wrinkle for them to throw at us, but
yeah, me too.
It would make sense for him to not divulge. If he knew that she was potentially going to have to time travel, he knew he couldn't say, oh, if you're forced to time travel, you'll kill somebody. Bye.
Right.
Like, that seems like good information to withhold if you're going to need...
Who is she killing?
Well...
A version of herself.
Yeah. In theory, a version of herself.
In another time.
And he doesn't... Because he doesn't know what timeline she's going to go to. So if she goes to a different timeline where...
So I think it was revealed that she's traveling to a timeline that could still be saved.
Yeah.
Right? So in this timeline, she was supposed to prevent patient zero from getting on that plane somehow. And one thing I really love that they do with this is the instant finding out instantly whether it worked or not.
Yes.
In 40 years, the future in 40 years basically knows instantly if something you tried worked or not. So she educated patient zero about the Chinese bats that carried this virus. And then what ended up happening in that 40 years was she went there and she did the protest and they shut it down. And that eventually made COVID-19 never happen, which made everything accelerate and our society collapsed even faster.
We went to war.
We didn't slow down and take a breath. So we...
Right. So we went to nuclear war and everything got wiped out.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because... I would think that the reason time travel exists is because of that deep breath and slowdown. So the fact that, you know, we died in global thermal nuclear war in 2062, but someone still developed time travel.
Oh, yeah.
In that timeline is interesting.
So even though we destroyed ourselves sooner, we were able to discover time travel still.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a very good point. Yeah. But that's one of my favorite things that I've seen a few times in different stories or TV shows is where you do get the instant feedback from the future as to whether or not what you're attempting worked or not.
But now, how did they send a message back in that timeline?
It's like decoded to Oliver and some weird code.
That's a very good question.
It is a good question. How does a message go back?
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
So within that timeline, they still developed, there must be some very significant time in human history, no matter what timeline you're in, no matter what universe you're in, that they developed time travel. And so they attempted this, it didn't work. And within that same timeline, they were able to send back the information.
Or probably more importantly, within several timelines.
Yeah.
So maybe even if a timeline jumped, there's still a 90% chance that the time...
Well, don't forget, they brought up the really great concept that even before this, when they discovered time travel, at first they sent back suggestions to the great writers and poets and sing song the scene.
Yeah.
That was really cool that whenever someone would explain like things like the novel that predict the future, like that are so where they're like, that's us. Anytime you have this author who's like a great science fiction author or filmmaker, we'd kind of planned that. It was supposed to be messages to you guys. You didn't pick up on it. That was so great. I loved it.
That was great. Apparently we're very dense. Yeah. We are not easy to
We tried to
sway.
Talk about global warming. We tried to tell you about AI.
Yeah.
It's just fucking genius.
Why aren't we listening, people? We need to listen.
No, Skynet.
Skynet can be a real freaking thing.
Yeah.
That was really fun that they did that. Yeah.
Yeah, that was really cool. Yeah, it just got me thinking of all the movies I've loved that are just like, oh, fuck.
They could be warnings. Like, the Terminator could be a warning,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Contagion, absolutely a warning. All these movies.
War Games.
I love the idea also they brought up in this. They were like, why don't we just kill her? Why don't we just kill this one person to stop?
Yeah.
We kept trying, and time has a way of protecting certain events. It's going to go with that flow and like they'll, you know, a way of protecting itself about significant key events.
So knowing that, right, experiencing that probably many times, wouldn't someone maybe think, well, hey, if time or the universe or whatever it is preventing this person from being killed, maybe we can't prevent the end of humanity. Maybe
it touches on that, right? At the end of this season.
Maybe we are just meant to die in 2063.
So I guess we have to assume that the COVID virus has made its way to Mars in this future?
I don't know. I don't know if the people that were working on this, the ones who are immune, went to Mars to try to start a new civilization.
Because is Earth dead or is humanity dead?
Yeah, something about Mars came back very briefly where it played a role in either time travel. Or...
Well, that's where we developed it. We found...
Didn't we find aliens? Yeah.
Or cave paintings or something like that on Mars.
Alien something on Mars, yeah.
Yeah, alien information.
Yeah.
And so if there's no... Yeah, if they caught the COVID virus before they sent astronauts to Mars... Because, yeah, we don't go to Mars until, it probably did. COVID virus probably is there because we didn't go to Mars until like 2030 or 2035. Like,
is it the COVID virus or the Pegasus virus?
Well, Pegasus is a mutation of COVID, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Got it.
I think.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
Like they also go into describing, they play around with the idea that you can have a connection with yourself from these other timelines and that your dreams were perhaps things in other timelines and deja vu also like. Kind of messing around with that. They're explaining everything in the series. Mm-hmm. They've covered all the mystery.
He tells her too in season one, he says, I have this dream where you wake up in the sunlight and then we go to a cafe and have breakfast. So if you never do this, then I never do that. Then I never get chosen to be in the project because it's the dream that I have that gets me chosen for the project that now sends me back to here. We're looking at like a pre... We are looking at like a predestination type loop here, I think, when this is all done. Like, I think...
Is that your prediction?
Something like that. Like, I think that like, yeah, she only... Like, I don't think it's going to be quite that deep. But like...
Don't
spoiler for predestination.
Yeah, seriously. I think the love story, the quantum entanglement aspect is definitely going to play a role. So that was another thing that they brought into it. So many fun concepts that the writers incorporated into the story was the quantum entanglement, right? These two beings, these two people who even across dimensions, across timelines are connected and drawn to each other, dreaming of each other.
Different names, different roles, but always this connection.
Different, times that they were born in their timeline. So that was fun. I love that stuff.
I love this scientific version of soulmates.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love it.
And it was, they even brought up in this time, like when she was in the other role of the therapist, he had to really prove to her, and she wasn't buying it, like about their relationship. And this one, she didn't try to prove anything to him. He just like came out, like you said, standing with roses, ready to go. He's like, I just saw you and it felt like I was waiting for you. And he's like, didn't even compare to the marriage I had and nothing had happened with them. He's very, he's buying. And then his daughter also was like, I had to do this. I had to be there. They're really messing around. These guys are apparently very open to this connection.
Yeah.
So his lifetime. So in 2012, he's 30. Let's just say.
He said he was 39.
Oh, he in 2012 he did?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's just round it up to 40. So that means in 2022, he's 50. How does he make it? So he's already a time traveler then.
This timeline, he's not. That's
he's
where.
He's not the traveler in this timeline.
He's got to be.
No, he's not, though.
He's not.
He hasn't traveled in this timeline.
It was from another timeline that he's talking to her.
But why was he born 100 years earlier in this timeline?
Well, why wasn't she born originally in 2023, but in this one in 2012, it's her younger self?
Yeah. So when they were born, it varies. Their names vary. When they were born in the timeline varies. But I think the fact that they are cosmically connected depends on when they go back to travel. Although they also said that the significance of traveling to 2012 was because of the whole Mayan calendar, the end of the world.
Oh, that was another cool thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, they're going to go to 1999 next.
Mm-hmm. Mm. That's very good. They probably will. Yeah. Season 3 might be 99. That's
makes
totally
sense. True. That's great. So, yeah, I mean, if we, you know, for our own sake, let's say timeline 1 is where he grew up, where the world came to the shitty end. They discovered time travel. He goes back to timeline 2.
22.
Just 22 to try to convince her to do this thing with Emily, what's her name? The patient zero. She fails, gets sent back to timeline 3, where he's like this therapist and she's right. For us to understand it, to think about it that way.
Yeah.
However, so here's another hole. So at the end.
Is she 80?
She ends up dying in front of Poopy Pants. And tells her, like, just change the timeline. You can control it, whatever.
Well, Poopy Pants is Marie, patient zero, when she's 17.
Right.
Let's not confuse everyone.
So we hear her talking from 2063. That has to be from another timeline? But then how would she know that this timeline moved on and was successful?
Well, as soon as they get to 2063, that's the magic number.
But she said, she's from 20, she's like, hey, it's me from 2063. You did it.
Yeah.
Is that what it was? That was the last part?
Yeah, because they said our every timeline, we just check in to see if we made it to 2063. And if we make it to 2063, then we were successful.
And they did. They, like, everything was like her, whatever she changed was great. And like they did it. That's why.
So Poopy. So who is Poopy Pants again? I mean, I know who she is.
Bree Baker.
And that is.
She's the one in number one. She's the one that gets on the flight because of she gets the disease and because of her blood type, it forms and it spreads out to like 56 people.
That's right.
She's the one she's supposed to put the injection in at the end of season one. And the end of season two, it's his 17-year-old daughter. And who's also, I think, potentially going to be girlfriends with her sister.
Yes.
And she was supposed to stop them getting to know each other because then she would never get on the plane.
Right.
Another interesting thing they brought up in this was really, I really like this part where the guy of this timeline, he buys into it, right? He's like, I feel this connection. You're saying crazy shit, but I'm into it. I'm with you. He's like, the idea that like, look, maybe future other me sent you here just to save you. Maybe you're not going to save the universe.
Yeah.
Like, look at it this way.
I thought it was Oliver that said that.
No. The first time it was him.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not Peter, the other one. Oliver said some other stuff at the end,
okay.
But he had said he was like really thinking this through in a very smart way. And he was just like, if someone has to die and they send you over, he might be hiding you here, trying to keep you alive. He's going to die there totally selflessly. Maybe saving the future is always pointless.
I'm having a hard time with their ages being so different because if they're born 50 years earlier, then we have to imagine that happens with a lot of fucking people and that fucks up your whole history. If Clinton isn't president in 92 and Bush isn't president in 2000, like that throws off the whole fucking timeline of everything.
The consciousness travel.
And how are these the only two people that are born 50 years earlier in this timeline?
They said they sent other people, right? They've said they've sent others.
Yeah.
But you also need to have people that have the Garnier Malier.
So we're suggesting that Oliver, that fucking goddamn it, what's it? That Oscar Isaacs is born 50 years earlier, okay?
In this timeline.
In 2012, yes. We have to assume that happens to a fucking lot of people. That if that happens to 10 people, that fucks off the whole universal timeline.
It's an alternate timeline.
Well, maybe not. Maybe it's just...
If it's an alternate timeline, then how come it all...
Some things are constant and some aren't.
...dies on 26...
Some things are constant and some are not.
Why does it all still end in 26?
If the doctors in... I guess some other doctor will just develop... I'm just saying, like...
Well, it ended earlier in the nuclear fallout one. That did not end. Did not make it to 2063. So that ended earlier. That's a whole different thing.
So I think it is just these two people, and I guess apparently the daughter or patient zero that is different.
But she's close to them. She's developed.
But that means Oscar Isaac's wife had to have been born 50 years earlier, or whoever is his daughter's.
Oh,
just in this timeline.
Right. So, but that means his parents had to have been born, and their parents' parents, and his great-great-great-grandparents.
Well, and there's the whole thing, right? In the first one that she helped cause... The parents getting together that would birth him. Remember in season one?
Right. Yeah.
They're just trying to say this idea of like in these different timelines, you're a different person. You have a different job. You have a different life. But like the people that you're close to, they're still there. You know, I've heard this theory and like, oh, they're your best friend. Now they're your spouse. Now they're your boss. But you're always around each other.
But like, I'm saying that like, yeah, if these three people are born that much earlier in the timeline, we have to assume they're not the only three people that do this. So I think what would make me feel more okay about this is if it was a different event. See, the world always dies in 2062. Something always goes wrong because we're terrible, terrible people. But the fact that it's actually, is it? It's not the Pegasusite.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah, it's different. A couple of times it's different.
I get what you're saying. You're just like, why all the factors that make them, how could you skip what with their parents' age and all this other stuff? It's a bit.
It could potentially be a hole.
Yeah.
Has it ever been mentioned that they look different, or is it supposed to be that they look exactly the same?
I think it's supposed to be them.
I'm pretty sure they look exactly the same.
I mean, obviously the traveler looks the same, but
right.
does
Well, one of them has a dark mustache and evil glasses on.
It's a weird hole. Why all the factors that made you and like generations that have to go to that?
Yeah.
You're like making everything. I mean, the only thing you could add to them is that in this alternate timeline, everything's just bumped up 50. The dinosaurs, the big, like whatever you want to fucking say, everything.
Yeah.
It's the only explanation.
But then the world ends in 2032 and the COVID virus begins in 2012 or 20. Yeah,
but it doesn't. So.
Right.
You're jumping across an equal timeline. And although maybe you're making like this, like a straight line across, they're 10 years or 20 years behind. I don't know. It's interesting. That same shit is happening, but these timelines are at a different pace.
Yeah. I like to think of it as they failed their mission, so they try to go back in time earlier, but the fact that these two people are so cosmically linked, that time and all the powers of the universe have made the needed adjustments for them to still meet and still be of this age.
Yeah.
And also that potentially the universe and all the powers that be are, you know, are still going to make it so that we can't change anything, so that we are still going to fail again. And we're going to continue to fail. But these two souls, these two entities are cosmically linked, are going to continue to do this dance to try to save it. But so it could potentially just be a love story and not.
Yeah, they brought that up a few times.
Yeah. So this season, they were like, this is a love story. This isn't about saving the world. This is about you and me.
He made the ultimate sacrifice just so you could live more and maybe meet some version of him. And then she's like, I'm tired of fighting. I just want to be happy. Like, I love how they talk about how, like, that no one realizes how fragile the timeline is. Every little whim, everything changes everything. And she's like, once you realize that, it's all just such, like, organized chaos. I'm just gonna try to be happy. I'm gonna hang with this guy.
Just live out my life.
Yeah.
They come up with that theory for a hot second that if they go to Rome together, it completes this loop. Like almost it would save everything. And then of course she didn't make it in the airport, which I called out because he references that earlier. He's like, I had this vision of me losing you in an airport.
In an airport, yeah.
And I was like, that's gonna happen.
I love the I just love the whole idea of orphan timelines in this whole story. Like they're just like, they already know that this timeline is doomed. And it's like, we can
just live out our days.
We can ride this out or we can jump to another timeline and try again. But yeah, it is interesting that in each timeline, because now she's going to have to convince him to, I can't even remember the end of season two anymore. because she has to convince, because she can't jump again. So who is she going to convince? Sorry, go ahead.
No, but so she didn't jump again at the end of season two, right? She died.
Yeah.
She died.
Right. So how does 2063 one send a message back to Marie?
He's going to.
Unless her conscious, some other timeline of her consciousness got open. She's connecting with the different versions of her and sends a message to another timeline.
I feel like his daughter is going to have to jump next.
That's what I said. That was my prediction. I was like, I bet you Marie is going to be the new person to jump.
1999.
To jump back in time. Yeah, that was my prediction.
She's got to connect both of them and they won't know who the fuck each other is. And she's got to connect them because whatever.
Do you think it ends with her seeing her sister or do you think her sister is going to have a bigger part in it?
Oh.
Do you think like she'll finally get to her sister and her sister will be like,
yeah,
I've been having this vision of you in a flux capacitor.
They're doing a really good job of opening this story up more as each season goes. So I wouldn't see why they wouldn't. That's a good call.
Yeah. Adding new people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was so weird to hear a new voice in this. I was like, who the fuck? That's not Oscar or Julian.
Yeah.
It was great. I loved it. But it was almost jarring when his daughter started actually talking. They are jumping through bigger and bigger hoops to make recording their conversations seem plausible.
Yeah. But I still like how that's the style, how they are like, oh, you record everything, don't you? You know, and it's like, yeah. That's...
And he says it too. They both say it in season one. She says it in season two. He says, I record all my conversations. It soothes me.
Yeah.
And so the Oliver is just this guy who's like a plant in this timeline that's got a good mind. They send him all the stuff and he's like fighting for the timeline. It was really cool. He came in as like the fake husband. They proved every way that she was crazy. She accepted that. They got her out. They'd be like, no, you're not crazy. And she'd flip the other way. That was fun.
Which one do you think starts the army of the 12 monkeys?
Right.
Is it going to be him or her? This is so I can't believe we had to wait. Like I said, I'm going to be a good boy. I'm not going to learn Spanish in 10 months. So I'm going to have to wait 12 months for the exciting conclusion of this story. But I'm super.
This is a great example. You know, we said a 1 minute time machine is like this simple comedic thing on a bench. That is one of the better time travel movies compared to like a lot of other ones. This one is just audio recording of them doing little voice. And it's so much more well thought out. Such a better story than most time travel films.
In fact, it's such a good story that Scott's 8-year-old son was listening to it in the car.
Yes.
And he was like, can we hear the next one? Can we hear the next one? Like Cole was loving it.
Yeah.
No
so we're just
way.
Playing it. We're driving up. We thought he's like playing with his little scratchy things or his activity books. And then he starts like, can we hear the next one? And we're like, oh, are you listening?
I was like,
do you like
Cole,
it?
You know, this isn't real, right? He's like, yeah, I know.
And then we actually start talking about the theories of stuff. And there's one part that Harvey was asking something. And he's like, no, when you're in another timeline, you die. And then you have to go to the other timeline. We're like,
yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, he was like getting it.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I was all like explaining to Ari about like, because she was just making sure. And he was,
oh,
okay, you got it. You understood it, bud. And he loved it. He was like, can we hear the next one, please? He sat this 8-year-old who, you know, has ADD and it was like in a car listening to 10, 12 minute podcasts.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was long. This was at least a half hour longer.
He listened to every episode. Like, that's impressive. He was able to focus on that?
He asked if he listened to season one.
That must be, because for his brain has to focus on creating its own images, so it keeps it busy.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
He said he liked it.
Yeah, he's like, I pictured the doctor to look like this other doctor I know. Like, it was just...
The doctor looks like that guy from the Star Wars movies. I like it.
I know, I was going to tell him. I was going to be like, you've seen him. He's in Star Wars films.
So, we're going to shoot this, right? Like, this is going to be Time Pop Productions' first movie.
You could. Just in the office, you could make such a good sci-fi. You would need like two sets.
Yeah, but it's also...
You'd have to do some...
The airport and the office.
Yeah, it's true.
It also works well as what it is.
It does.
It almost works better because if it was a visual thing, you would have to bring in all these visual scenes and action and you'd have to bring in more. But because it's radio, essentially... You don't. It can be.
You have to take them at their face value.
I just want to shoot it so I have just as a mental exercise to solve it. Because like as I'm shooting, I'm like, no, wait, he's from here. So she's got to be from there. Oh, that's why she, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To map it out.
If you shoot the future, though, then it seems like fact as opposed to like it's just what someone's telling you. And you have to always. Are you crazy or are they saying the real business?
Maybe someone will do an animation for it.
Well, and Ari would have to shave her head because she'd obviously have to play the Julianne Moore part.
No, Ari would be the director. Thank you very much.
Oh, all right. I'll shave my head. I'll be Julian. Scott is definitely my Oscar Isaacs.
Oh, you want us to act in it? No way.
Was it Zoe that was making comments. There's the part where like they you get the audio of the makeout. Yeah, little, like how do they make sure they're getting that sound just right?
You just get a horse with you get a horse and you slap some peanut butter on its gums.
Wow. That's how you do it. This is a Foley artist, my friends. So the one night is all they got. This is true forbidden love. They can never be together. Such strong love across many timelines.
Just like Terminator. Oh, their child. Who's their love child going to be?
No, she died.
Oh, fuck.
Marie is the love child. Marie. And it just keeps getting mixed up.
So, okay. She dies at the end. And the daughter and the dad, do they get on? No, they end up. I'm just trying to, where does season three start? Season three starts in timeline three.
Marie.
It's got to be about
it's Marie. Marie is like, hey, this is my recording. It could be years later. It could be in Rome.
It could be.
I think it's years
right
later.
Away.
It's like, I've been doing these ever since. And it's kind of like Terminator, right? She's like, I'm living with this pressure that I did the right thing. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I'm going to be the catalyst for the end of society. Yeah.
And now I heard from 2071, although we made it to 2063, then things do get bad. So now I have to go to 1999 to party with Prince.
Yeah.
Paisley Park.
So if you could time travel, but you knew...
One time.
And it was going to be to a different timeline. So we'll take away the part where you have to kill yourself to make room for yourself. Let's just leave that out just to simplify this process. Would you go back in time once to a different... So if you go to a different timeline, I'm going to assume that it's not as identical as they say it is. So like, who knows? You could go to another timeline in 2012 and the iPhone doesn't exist. Like people are still using rotary phones, or maybe people have flying cars all over and you're living in Coruscant.
Or more directly, your alternate you could have been born a different time.
Yeah.
Right? So let's say you were born in 1990, you go back in time, but now the version of you that exists in this time.
Whether Ari is in love with a different version of you or a different person, you're going to have to deal with that in your new timeline.
Right. Scott's looking at me funny.
Scott's like, who is this man? Who is this other Scott Lift man?
What 90s hair down to the chin grunge person are we talking about? What flat top kid and play wannabe are we discussing?
I mean, basically you're going to, for your own...
Jonathan Brandeis?
Who? I don't know who that is. So if it was to save the world, yes, I would do it. I would travel one time to an alternate timeline. Scott's shaking his finger. I would... get with the guy with the long hair, sure, from the 90s.
you're in, it's an orphan timeline.
With the thermal and the t-shirt and the flannel tied around the waist?
He's got a short sleeve shirt under a long sleeve shirt under a short sleeve shirt.
I still have the same thing where it's like, depends on the connections I have in this timeline.
Yeah.
To leave, to go to another timeline and die, to save another timeline. And like, I have family, loved ones here.
Because it's tough because... if we only know what Julianne Moore knows.
When you enlist to save you in another timeline? I abandoned you and my kids in this timeline to go save another version of you?
Oh, that's true. Do you know if your timeline will be saved or not?
Let's assume you know as much as Julianne Moore knows at the end of season one.
Okay, if I know as much as that, then yes, I would go.
Yeah.
But now knowing that the timeline you leave is doomed and you can't save it, maybe not.
I think if I know that there's a 90% chance that the timeline I jump to is going to be doomed as well, I think I ride this lifetime out like I'm going to die in 60 years or 40 years.
Yeah.
It's tough to sacrifice yourself for a different timeline. It's funny how that seems less, you know, people treat other timelines like they're not real people, but it is. It's like not even your timeline.
Sorry. Another great connection for this is I don't think it comes up in season one, but in season two, she is at the St. Mary's Hospital or something like that.
Yeah.
The St. Mary's Chronicles is an amazing time travel book series.
Oh.
It's really, really good. It's really, really cool. And
you think that was a seed planted?
I feel like it was at least a seed by the author. And if I ever finish my goddamn Wheel of Time saga, thank you, Wheel of Time. Check out Thank the Light podcast.
What a great plug that was.
Talking about Wheel. Hey, I'm in it for the show. The show was fucking great. The books are good, but fuck, there's a lot of them. I'll get on the St. Mary's Chronicles for this podcast.
Well, I thought you appreciated the part where they talk about the movie references, right? They go into like 12 Monkeys and they go into all the films in the book. That was pretty fun.
I love it when shit exists in our world. It's so great.
So I have a hypothetical question for you two. Let's say you are in a world that is crumbling and you have the ability to time travel, or at least just the part where you can send information back. And so we know that in this story, they tried to send back seeds to try to convince people of the dangers of what could come. And it obviously didn't work. How would you, if you had the ability to either time travel or just send back information, how would you try to save the present and or the future by sending or going back in time? What could you do? They tried to send seeds and it didn't work. What could you do to go either send a person, go back in time? How would you try to convince the past to change their ways to save the future?
I'd have Christopher Nolan make Interstellar.
Everything I'm thinking of, they tried and it obviously didn't work. Like I'm thinking about
like in the Terminator,
like gangster rap and prog rock,
telegraph to poetry, big murals.
I mean, if you can watch Contagion and just be like, that'll never.
It's just a movie. Yeah.
That'll never. If you haven't seen Contagion in the last 6 years, watch it and tell us that wasn't a song.
When did that come out?
That's old.
2010.
When did Contagion come out?
Didn't we watch that in early COVID? And like, why are we watching this? 2011.
So it came out in 2011.
Yes.
Yes.
And if that wasn't a seed sent back from the future to try to warn us, I don't know what was.
They use terms in there I thought they made up, and then they became common yeah. phrases.
Well, they also talk about in this that they sent back, was it this one where they sent back scientific discoveries to try to help us as well?
Oh, yeah.
And it didn't help. That's why there is a slight part of me that thinks that we are not savable, that this is one of those things where whatever will happen, and you know, time can't be changed, even though
yeah,
you can travel back in time, you can't ultimately change what's going to happen.
Well, you know what my theory is, right?
What?
We are the ancient remains of a Martian society that already destroyed itself. And in their last ditch attempt, they just launched a canister full of DNA to Earth. And now we're going to do it all over again.
That's a good theory.
I'm sticking to it.
All right, let's publish it on the blog.
Tell me I'm wrong.
Good theory. Isn't that the theory from Prometheus?
Close.
Sort of, yeah.
I don't think they're Martian, but that's pretty close. Holy shit. This is awesome. I'm going to hopefully listen to these again. There may be some a couple of mini series coming up of me. I'm going to do like Julianne Moore style, like just in my car.
That's fun.
I'm going to hit the memo button and go, here's my thoughts on case 63, November 19, 2023. Beep. Yeah. Are you guys good? Any final thoughts?
I mean, we know when Cole's up in the morning, we should maybe interview him on his thoughts on the series.
Absolutely.
Get an 8-year-old thought. I'd be really curious to interview him and be like, what do you think happened? What'd you like about it?
I like the fact that we're all going to die, so none of this really matters.
Yeah, which timeline you work in the entanglement theory? What's my Garnier-Mallier effect? My Garnier-Mallier effect?
I just want to jump to another timeline and...
I don't know why he's Mickey Mouse, by the way.
And choke the life out of the other me. Wait.
She had a conversation with herself. That was a pretty cool scene. She therapized herself.
Okay, that's another thing really quick before we sign off.
Yeah.
You would totally recognize yourself.
There would be a thing. I agree.
In 10 years, older or younger.
That'd be a thing.
I looked like this 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah. You'd be like,
come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Recognize yourself.
Yeah, totally.
Even if you had your head shaved.
Oh, that's right. She's got her head shaved. That's the whole reason they try to pull that off. Yeah. God, that's right. And does he go there? He kind of goes there on a whim, doesn't he? And then it all kinds of, or is that like his big master plan? Is it, I'm going to take her here to meet herself?
No. Well, she.
Oh, no. She takes him there.
She invited him, but he remembered it halfway through.
And then it all. Oh, this is so good.
It's
so
good stuff.
Come on, K63. Do us all a favor. Drop that third season on us.
Hurry up already.
Everyone knows. Let's do it. thank you for listening to Time Pop, the time travel movie podcast. We hope you've enjoyed this journey through time. Please like, subscribe, and tell a friend about Time Pop. And please check out our Patreon at patreon.com/timepop. Over there, we are doing time travel adjacent movies. We're going to do some multiverses. Our first, we're going to do an episode every month for your gracious donation of $3 per month. We have Everything Everywhere All at Once over there, and we're going to do one of the Spider-Man movies. I think we're going to do the Spider-Man cartoon. I don't know, but there's a lot of multiverse going on with the David Spider-Man series over there. So we're going to do that and other stuff. And if you join the Patreon now, you can tell us what we should check out. That is what you can do. And I'm going to send, I'm a little bit behind because I just ordered some really cool envelopes, some like envelopes with our, with my company logo on it. So when those come in, if you are a Patreon subscriber, I will send you a sweet Time Pop sticker and maybe a few other pieces of swag that I'm starting to collect for this amazing podcast. If you would like to continue to support us for free, we just ask again, please like, subscribe, and tell a friend about Time Pop. And tell them that we're talking about K63. Oh, it was 1 year ago because it came out a year ago. So about a year ago, we did an episode on K63 season one. So if you're a new fan of K63 and you just came across it, please check out our conversation on season one. And if you have any thoughts about season one, season two, please don't spoil season three for us. If you're one of the chosen few, you can send those to timepoppod@gmail.com. That is timepoppod@gmail.com. Until next time, I'm Desmond McNeese.
I'm Ariel.
And I'm Scott.
Bye-bye now.
And that was Time Pop. That's what that was before.
But in the future.
That used to be Time Pop.
And now you hear it in the past.
This is probably going to make the episode, but I don't feel like introducing the episode. I think we need to get, I think this is very, very important. Is Emily Blunt our queen?
You brought that up. So what? So Edge of Tomorrow, Adjustment Bureau, and what else?
Looper.
Wait, are we agreeing that Adjustment Bureau is time travel?
We did it. I mean, it's Time Pop lore, so.
Is that?
We did Adjustment Bureau? When did we do that?
It's a long time ago, but.
You did it. I don't know if I did.
No, you did. Scott wasn't there. Before K63 came out, it was The Time Machine and The Adjustment Bureau were one and two.
I put Ari as our time travel queen.
Yeah.
And Scott is our jester.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
Ba-na-na, na-na-na.